You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
The communion is to be a time of breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough, and remembering what Jesus did for us, and also remembering not just His death, His resurrection, but also His return, right? And last Sunday morning, we looked at the scriptures in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, as well as chapter 11, and we took note of the scriptures that said we should examine ourselves. Even if you weren't here last week, you're probably familiar with that scripture. And the danger is that if we do not discern the body of Christ properly, the scripture says that there are many sick and some are no longer with us. And we've been talking about the freedom that we have in Christ and that God wants us to live free, but we do have free will and we have choices. And so chapter 10 that we looked at last week gave us a warning to not come and live a double standard life. Do not come living in the world and then project a hypocritical lifestyle as if everything is right with God. Don't sit on the fence. Don't come in and have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Either get all in the kingdom or else just stay in the world. But don't think that you can ride the fence and make it into heaven. And there are people that are fence sitters. Come after a while, they'll be out of church and tomorrow they'll be on the job and some will be saying, well, that was church and this is work and we have to keep these things separated. And I've known people that have done that and felt as though it was perfectly appropriate to lie and to be foul-mouthed and whatever through the week, but then Sunday we're gonna put on our Sunday clothes. If you weren't here last week and you don't know the word, go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where the Word of God says to not make an offering to the devil and to idols when you come into the house of God. In other words, don't come with a life that's full of darkness and stay that way and choose to stay that way and be rebellious and think that's okay. Actually, the Word says if you receive communion and you're willfully rebelling against God, that you are opening the door to the enemy to bring sickness, and to some it's even been death. And so when we talk about choosing life and living in life, make the choice to be totally committed to God. Why not? Amen? We should encourage each other in this way. And we should not make excuses for sin. We should confess it, forsake it, and move on with God. Is there an amen in the house? Well, this morning we're going to go to the next area that has to do with choosing life. And this has to do with walking in forgiveness. Walking in forgiveness. Peter had a question. His question was in Matthew 18. He asked this question, How many times should I forgive someone? This is Matthew 18, verse 21. New Living Translation just says, Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? He's not just asking about any kind of forgiveness. He's saying, Lord, when somebody willfully, purposefully sins against me and I am injured, maybe wounded, maybe bleeding. Maybe you're also mature. None of you ever get hurt. But you know somebody that's had their feelings hurt, right? And probably none of you have feelings that are susceptible to being hurt because you're so mature in Jesus, you've just grown beyond that. But for all of those people who still live in a flesh house, that means you still have feelings. You know, Jesus felt those. He felt those thorns. He felt those nails. He felt those lashes. He had feelings. He lived in a flesh house. You live in a flesh house, you have feelings. He also felt it when he was betrayed by his own. He felt it when he was cursed at. He felt it when the one thief on the one cross is screaming at him, if you're the Christ, then come down from this cross and bring us down from this cross. Do something miraculous. He felt it. He felt it when he was slapped in the face. And I believe Peter is just saying what maybe all of us have thought at some point or another. How long do I have to put up with this? Or is there a time where I can just say enough is enough and just, I've had enough from you. Cutting you off, right? So Peter asked this question, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Maybe he's thinking throughout the day, maybe once an hour or so that he's interacting with people. But if you remember what Jesus said, he said 70 times 7, and that's 490 if my math is right. But I don't believe the focus was on the 7 or the 70 or the 490. I believe the focus was that Jesus was wanting Peter to live free. And either I live free because I know that I've been set free, so I can release others, even if they don't deserve it. Or else I will end up becoming encumbered with a lot of garbage in this life. Some of you here this morning have had mental cleansing. Your mind's been renewed. There was a time in your life where hurts and scuffs and scars and maybe abuse and use by others and lies and threats and, listen, it's not always on the outside. Sometimes it's in the house. Sometimes it's in the congregation. Sometimes it's in the pulpit. Sometimes it's with our children. Sometimes it's with a relative. But some of you have experienced, I will just call it miraculous God freedom, where you no longer lose sleep at night and you no longer flinch when someone's name is mentioned or you see them because you have received healing and let me say, deliverance from carrying someone else's stuff. Peter asked this question, and Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. Now, in being free and experience the freedom that God has for us and looking at this topic, and we're not going to bring this into, you know, another Sunday, I don't believe. So I want to just touch on some key points this morning. And if you already are free in these areas, you can say hallelujah. But if you need some more freedom, today is a day to say, I receive it in Jesus' name. And let me start by saying this. I was looking at a book on forgiveness, and one of the chapters, an entire chapter, was on this point, that forgiveness is not reconciliation. Think about that for a minute. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Now, it might be. It might be. But it's not necessarily reconciliation. Reconciliation is where someone is restored to the place they were in before the injury. You see, the Scripture even says this, as much as lieth within you, live at peace with all men. But there are some people that are not peaceable, and so you cannot be at peace in a reconciled, maybe relationship, if there is no peace that is accessible. And so the enemy would love for all of us internally to live with anxiety, fear, struggles, and anger. And anger will lead to bitterness. A root of bitterness will spring up in us. And then that bitterness will influence every aspect of our life. And we will end up infecting others with our bitterness. But thanks be to God that Jesus, His death, His resurrection, provides for me forgiveness so that I can receive communion. Not based upon perfect performance, but based upon a perfect sacrifice. And so God's perfect sacrifice becomes a picture of how the one who did no sin forgave all sinners. And certainly we who are forgiven are given the ability by the grace of God to forgive. But forgiveness does not mean 100% reconciliation. So don't shut the whole topic off, because someone might say or be watching and say, I tried that and it didn't work. And let me throw out another ground rule while we're just getting started. Forgiveness may be a multi-layered process. Have you ever peeled an onion that made your eyes water? And as you were peeling, you could just keep peeling until you got right to the core of it. And it was full of the same stuff, and none of it was good. Some of you have heard my stories of my mother, Mother's Day. I pick on Mom. She's with Jesus, and I love my mom tremendously. But Mom would eat raw onions. She was an Indiana country girl, and she would salt them down. I mean, now, I like the tomato sandwiches. My wife even asked me the other day, I think you said a tomato sandwich sounds good. Did you have one? Oh, I thought she did. Now, the tomato sandwich with mayonnaise I understood, but the raw onion I never understood. And mom would come when I was doing homework. I remember this as a kid, like 5, 6, 7 years old. And she would put one hand on one side of me on the, she wanted me to stay focused. So one hand went on one side of me and it was on the edge of the table. And then the other hand was holding an onion. So she's enjoying her onion while she's helping me as a student. And I remember just hating the smell of onions. Sometimes the hurts in our life are like that. They come and they surround us, and it's like, okay, well, I dealt with that. I believe I'm free. And then months later, maybe there's another layer to it. Maybe another layer to it. Maybe another layer to it. And you choose in your heart, I forgive because I'm forgiven. And then another issue shows up, or another aspect of it shows up. And you go, I thought I dealt with that already. I remember the story of a pastor who was in the middle of revival. Many of you grew up in churches where there were like two or three or four revivals a year. And the evangelist was there. And every night of the revival, one lady came. And she was the first to come to the altar call. She was the last to leave. And so the pastor knew her, and, you know, it's possible to even be married to someone or have children or have relatives, and you think you know everything, but there may be some things, there may be some deep things, wounds that are inside someone that you love deeply, and you may not know what they're carrying. And this pastor and evangelist, you know, the evangelist asked the pastor, who is this lady? Why does she come every night? And why does she stay so long? And they're up to almost the end of the revival. And the pastor said, I don't know. Let's stay with her as long as she's going to stay and ask her what's going on. And come to find out, she had a real abusive husband. Extremely abusive. And, you know, I believe alcohol was a major part of it, but would come in and she'd be beat up and a lot of things would happen. And no one knew this because no one knew that she'd ever been married in the church because it was so long ago. It had happened so many years ago that no one knew about that. But inside of her, she still felt that. And she had stayed single all those years and she'd carried that anger and that hurt, and why didn't God protect me, and why did God let that happen, and why didn't someone else in the family step in, and why did I get bruised so deeply, and she was dealing with anger, and finally all of this came out, and she said, I just can't forgive him. And this was like 30 some years the man had been dead. Maybe we call it nursing the hurt. Where the hurt is kept alive by reviewing it. Not because you want to, but because maybe in the middle of the night, or maybe someone else triggers it, or maybe something else happens. And this was this lady, and in this revival, she said, it's time I get free. I have carried around mentally this anguish. It was physical and mental and emotional, but I continue to keep it alive for all these years. God, somehow I have to let go. And I believe the bottom line with this lady when she finally came to her breakthrough was she didn't understand that forgiveness does not say it's okay what somebody else did. Forgiveness does not say when I forgive you, it's now okay with me what you did, and it's okay with God what you did. Forgiveness does not say that. Forgiveness says, God has forgiven me. He's the righteous judge. And He has brought healing to my life, and so I can release you to Him, and I will not carry the curse, the shame, and the pain anymore. See, the enemy would like for us to evaluate and judge and keep balancing the record. It's not fair. It's not right. This should have never happened. Life is not fair. and I was dealt a bad blow, and this should not be a part of anyone's life. And so we as the judge, we judge it, and your judgment may be absolutely correct because the Word says, judge righteous judgment. Judge righteously. But it also says something else. It says, judge no one lest you be judged. There, wait a minute. Now that's really confusing. How am I not to judge anyone, and at the same time, I'm to judge with righteous judgment? You see, when I judge someone, then someone has a name. And that name becomes a part of the package. Righteous judgment judges what has taken place, and you go, that was wrong. According to the Word of God, that was wrong. And in any setting, it may always forever be wrong. But the one who judges righteously judges the fruit. The Word says we're to be able to judge fruit. You know, if a spring of water is producing stinking water, then maybe there's a rat in it. That if you know, you're not going to get good and bad out of the same cistern, and you're not going to get good fruit and bad fruit out of the same tree. If there's bad fruit, then there are bad roots, and it's producing that. But righteous judgment does this. It releases us from being the judge. And you know why we need to be released? Because none of us are so righteous that we have the right to judge. Doesn't mean it's not wrong. It doesn't mean that you justify it. But that lady felt like somehow, some way, she needed to feel good about what had happened if she truly forgave. So let me throw that out as groundwork too. When you forgive, it does not mean you're going to feel good about what happened. But you're going to feel good that God has forgiven you for everything that's happened in and through your life. You may not feel good about it. I remember after my father, thank God he came back to the Lord, but after my father had an affair and the family was split up and dad was out and it was painful and mom was brokenhearted. And I remember mom telling me one day, she said, it would be better for me if your father, some of you have been around families that are broken and you know how that starts happening. I was even one of those children where I think both of my parents would say to the other, your son, Jonathan. But my mother said, I believe it would be better if your father, George, was dead than that he was still living. And that I would be reminded on a regular basis of the fact that our family has been split and there's the pain and the hurt and the loss, and every Christmas it was there and every child's birthday it was there and every resurrection season it was there and every 4th of July it was there because we had been a family and we were close. And when a family is torn apart, I have to just tell you that you may not ever have good, warm, fuzzy feelings about all of that happened, but you can have freedom from the control and abuse of those situations. Dad forever was wanting to apologize to mom over the years that would come after his restoration in the Lord. We were in a Hardee's restaurant, and Dad said, can you arrange for me to see your mom again? And honey, you remember that day. And so, you know, Dad comes, we have mom with us, and we're sitting at the table and ordered some light things perhaps and light conversation. And she's asking my dad, do you have any children? Now, mom had a little Alzheimer's at this point, right? So mom didn't remember who he was. Now, dad still wanted to apologize whether she remembered or not, because he's trying to get the burden off of him. He's still convicted over his sin, right? And so my dad would list the five children, and she said, "That's funny. I have children by that name." And then dad would say, "Well, I was your husband. I'm George McLean." And mom said, "George McLean." He said, "Yes, I was your husband. We were married." And mom, just as straight-faced and as sincere as could be, said, "You're a much nicer George than the one I was married to." And you know what he was? Because even though he sinned horribly and it was a horrible tragedy, yet that brokenness in his life brought him to a new place with God. And my mom, with her Alzheimer's, I mean, she didn't know a lot of things, you know, but for her, she was just totally free, and she just said whatever was on her heart, and she was free. And dad said, "Well, I want to apologize again for what happened." And mom didn't even remember what happened at that point, and that was so okay. And I wondered if maybe there was some additional peace that mom had in those years because she wasn't able to remember some of those things. But I think that's one of the ground rules to keep in mind: when you forgive biblically, you release the hurt into God's hands.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? And when it's all been said and all my treasures will mean nothing, only what I